This episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/accidental, and the first 1,000 people to use that link will get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership. This episode is also brought to you by Hover. Hover knows you're going to do something that will make a difference. Grab your domain name at hover.com/accidentalcreative for a 10% discount on all new purchases. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I am also the author of the new book, The Motivation Code, available now wherever books are sold. Over the past couple of weeks, I've given presentations to a number of groups, a number of organizations who are having year-end meetings, or maybe they're kind of at that place right now where, we've been doing this for a while, doing this remote working thing for several months for most of us. And we're now at a place where reality is starting to settle in. You know, at first there's this kind of, oh, I finally get to work from home. I have more flexibility. And then there's the, okay, now I have to figure out new ways of doing things. So there's the challenge of that. And now we're kind of in the third phase where we're kind of settling in and we're waiting for the light at the end of the tunnel, but it's still pretty far off. And so a lot of companies are asking me to come in and just talk about some of the dynamics we're experiencing. How do we stay fresh and creative and engaged? And how do we have better conversations? And how do we lead people more effectively in the midst of all of this, especially given that we're trying to navigate new systems and we still have the same accountability for our workload, but we have to figure out new ways of getting things done and collaborating and leading and all of those things. So as I've been having those conversations, I was thinking about some of the patterns that I'm seeing emerging right now within organizations and with creative pros specifically. And as I was reflecting on some of the advice I was giving, I realized everything kind of came down to three B's. Three B's for staying healthy right now. Three B's that are practices that we can build into our lives to help us stay engaged, stay focused. Now, this doesn't really cover the leadership portion of it, which we'll talk about on a future episode, but I really want to talk about on the personal level, what are three things that we can do right now to help us stay engaged, effective, and on top of our work, bringing our best every single day. So I'm going to talk about the three B's today and how we can apply them to help us stay more engaged. Before we jump in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare. So one of the most valuable and important things we can do right now is develop new skills. Keep ourselves challenged. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people of all kinds. Explore new skills, deepen your existing passions, and get lost in your creativity. So Skillshare offers creative classes designed for real life and all the circumstances that come with it. These lessons can help you stay inspired, help you express yourself, and introduce you to a community of millions. There are so many possible topics in the form of classes to explore on Skillshare. And especially right now, if you're trying to stay fresh, you're trying to stay creative, there are several courses that you can take that will teach you practical skills to help you do that. For example, Creativity Unleashed, Discover, Hone, and Share Your Voice Online. Find Your Style, 5 Exercises to Unlock Your Creative Identity. Or DIY Product Photography, Style and Shoot Creative Stills. There are any number of classes that you can take that will help you develop the skills that will take you to the next level, both in your career and also just in your personal interests, in your hobbies. So here's the thing. Skillshare is a great way to refresh your creativity and explore beyond your areas of focus. You can break up your routine with spontaneous acts of creativity, explore workshops, classes, and more. Most classes are under 60 minutes with short lessons to fit any schedule. So explore your creativity at skillshare.com/accidental, and the first 1,000 people to use that link will get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership. Again, that's skillshare.com/accidental to receive free access to thousands of classes for a limited time. Be one of the first 1,000 to sign up at skillshare.com/accidental. We thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Okay, three B's. Today we're going to talk about three B's. What are the three B's that we can be implementing to help us be more engaged, more effective, more creative, and just frankly, to help us manage our energy? So we often talk about focus and the importance of allocating our finite attention to the work that we're doing. It's very important because we have finite attention to dedicate to the work that we do. And we often talk also about time and how do we manage our time effectively. And we have to do that as well, of course, because time is the currency of productivity. And we have to use our time not just efficiently, but effectively. But we often fail to account for energy. We don't think about how we're bringing ourselves fully and freely to the work we do, doing what Lewis Hyde calls emotional labor, meaning not just doing the work, but actually bringing ourselves to the work in a way that allows us to contribute the way that we are uniquely capable to contribute. So when we talk about energy management, what we're talking about is managing our ability to be fully present, to be fully engaged, fully creative, fully immersed in the work that we're doing at any given point in time. And that's what we want. We want to manage our ability to do that. But to do that, we have to resist the urge to be on all the time. So each of these three B's has to do with strategic breaks from the day-to-day grind that we find ourselves in right now. Now, even though the grind isn't, you know, jumping in the car and commuting to work, and the grind isn't necessarily meeting after meeting in person, because our transaction costs are very low right now to be able to meet. You know, we can jump on a video call anytime. We can meet from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. because there are no quote unquote home hours, right? Because we're all sort of on the clock all the time whenever we need to be. If it's, you know, normally you can't call a meeting at 9 o'clock Eastern time. But, you know, it's technically possible to do that now because we all live in our workspaces. And I've actually heard of organizations that are doing things like that now. And so, you know, each of these B's is strategically designed to help you break away from the day-to-day grind. And the first B is buffers. Buffers. So a buffer is a space between. A buffer is a space that allows you the opportunity to either ramp up or ramp down from whatever you happen to be doing. And specifically, I want to talk about three kinds of buffers that we need to be building into our days right now. The first is the buffer at the beginning. Do you roll out of bed and immediately check your email? Do you roll out of bed and immediately jump into work? Do you roll out of bed and immediately engage in a project? Or do you have some on-ramp to your day? We have to have some way of ramping into our day. We need a buffer at the beginning of our day, especially now, because, you know, listen, for many of us, our commute was often our buffer, right? Going to work was a way for us to have a break between our home life and our work life, but we don't have that now. So we have to artificially create that buffer in some way. I've mentioned many times on the show that my early mornings have been the same for about 17 years. I get out of bed, I make breakfast, I eat the same thing for breakfast every single day. I go to my home office and I study for an hour. That's my on-ramp to the day. And I know it's going to happen every single day. That's what I do. That's just what I do. That's my buffer between getting out of bed and starting my work is my study time. And it's been that way for 17 years now, and it's been incredibly helpful to me because by the time I start my work day, I feel like I've kind of ramped into my work day a bit. Now, another way that we can do this is something that many people have talked about this, but I've heard Michael Hyatt talk about it pretty extensively, the importance of a beginning of the day ritual. And it can be anything for you. For me, I have a list of dailies that I go through every single day. These dailies are things that help me stay aligned, things that help me keep my goals top of mind, the things I'm pursuing top of mind. And they're things that just make sure that I don't allow any given area of my life to slip for too long. So I have a review that I do every day of what I call the big things, right? These are the big things that are important to me. And as long as these things are going okay, I'm great. But when one of those things starts to slip, that's when I start to get nervous. Well, that's part of my beginning of day ritual is reviewing those items on my big things list. For some people, it could be looking at your task list for the day. For some people, it could be doing a quick, you know, email triage before you dive into your work. For some people, it could be reviewing your goals. For some people, it could be journaling. For some people, it could be any number of things. But I encourage you to have some sort of beginning of day ritual, an on-ramp to your day at the beginning, as a buffer before you dive into your work, because otherwise you're going to feel like you're on demand from the time you roll out of bed. And that is just not a good way to stay prolific, brilliant, and healthy over the long term. Okay. The second kind of buffer is the middle buffer. So there are a couple of ways I'm going to prescribe that you do this. The first is to have ensure that you have a buffer between meetings, or at least a buffer within your meetings. So for example, most of us have meetings that last an hour. We call meetings, we schedule meetings for an hour, and then we have a meeting from 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, because our meetings are an hour long. Well, what if you decided your meetings are going to be 40 minutes long? What if you decide your meetings are going to be 50 minutes long or 35 minutes long? So that way you have a little bit of space between. You can probably accomplish most of what you want to accomplish in 35 or 40 minutes or 40 or 45 minutes, but that leaves you a little bit of space between meetings to ramp down, to think about next actions, to get ready for your next meeting. It creates a little bit of a buffer. Also, with regard to middle of the day buffers, what about taking an actual lunch break and actually going outside, maybe with a mask on if you're in a crowded space, but go outside, walk around, observe the world, create some space in the middle of your day. Now, why is this important? Because there's been a tremendous amount of research. Great book called The Breakout Principle actually explored some of these dynamics in detail. I highly recommend it. But there's been a lot of research into the mechanics of creativity and productivity and engagement. And one of the things that's been discovered is when you immerse yourself in work and then you break away and you go do something mindless, often you come back to the work with a new perspective, a new breakthrough. And the reason is that you have given your mind a break from the immersion in the work and allowed it to continue to work behind the scenes, almost in a subconscious way. So taking a walk in the middle of the day, you're going to find that you will have breakthroughs. You'll be refreshed, but you'll also have breakthroughs for your afternoon work when you come back to it. So I encourage you to try to find a way to create some sort of buffer in the middle of your day. And then finally, at the end of your day, do you have a buffer at the end of your day? Do you have a break at the end of your day, a clear ramp down? And again, Michael Hyatt talks about the end of day ritual. Okay, so what do you do at the end of the day every single day to signal to yourself, it is the end of the work day and I am ramping down right now and I'm creating a buffer between my work and my home life? What does that look like for you? Is there ever a clear edge between your work life and your home life? Or is everything just blended together right now? That is the great danger of our time, friends, is that our lives become one giant soup of everything, work and personal and home life and relationships and work relationships and personal relationships. It's just one giant soup because it's everybody together all the time is what it feels like. And we can't let that happen. We need to define clear edges. We need clear edges for our work and our personal lives. So I encourage you to implement some sort of end of day ritual as well, if that's something that you would find valuable as a buffer space, as a clear marker that my day is now over. I'm not thinking about work. I'm moving on. Okay? So that's buffers. I encourage you to build beginning of the day, middle of the day, and end of the day buffers. That is our first B. All right, let's talk about B number two. B number two is back burners. So when you think about a back burner in a cooking sense, back burners are things that you put food on that you want to kind of stew for a little bit, or you want it to kind of stay warm, but it's not really something that's like the main thing you're working on. You're just kind of putting it on the back burner so that it can kind of just kind of be warm and ready when you need it. Well, there's something I call back burner creating. Back burner creating is creating that goes on in the background. It's things that you're doing that are helping you develop new skills, maybe pursuing a hobby. It's the kind of creating that you do that's purely for yourself. I used to call this unnecessary creating, but the problem is I feel like it's really necessary. So now I call it back burner creating. This is creating that you're doing on your own time, on your own dime. You're doing it as a way to stay engaged, to develop skills, to express yourself, to keep yourself creatively engaged. It's a hobby. It's a skill that you're developing. It's something that you're doing that's forcing you to stretch out of your comfort zone and to pursue new kinds of creativity. Now, this does a couple of things for you. First of all, it allows you to express yourself and take risks in a way that you can't take risks maybe in your on-demand work. So let's say that the work that you're doing is very high-stakes client work. Well, sometimes you can't take the kinds of creative risks in that environment that you would like to take. And the reason is, obviously, the client may not go for it, and you may lose that client, and then you're going to lose your house, and then you'll be living in a van down by the river, right? If you take too many unwarranted risks. So what Backburner Creating allows you to do is to do spec work. It allows you to create in ways that are very low pressure, very low risk, and to take risks, develop skills, and practice when the stakes aren't so high. So do you have a hobby? Do you have something that you do creatively? I mean, maybe you're a designer listening to this right now, and you can't remember the last time you designed something that somebody wasn't paying you for. That's a problem. That's a problem, because you need to find ways of developing your skill of expressing yourself that aren't a part of your on-demand work. Maybe you're a writer, you're a copywriter, and you've always wanted to write a novel, but you just never have done it. And you've always thought about it, but you've never done it. Now is the time of all times for you to start doing something creative that is outside of your normal work. I mean, I mentioned that I've been working on music in the background. I come from a musical background. I haven't really played and recorded music in 20 years. And during COVID, I've started doing that again as a way to give me a creative outlet that is not writing books, that's not speaking, that's not training, that's not consulting. It just allows me to express a creative side of myself that I haven't been able to express in a long, long time, because frankly, I've been so busy that I haven't been able to do it. And now I'm in a position where I have a little bit of the space, but not only that, but I really need that kind of creative expression right now in order to stay engaged. So what is that for you? What is that back burner creating? By the way, one of the key markers of life satisfaction is that somebody is learning a new skill. Learning a new skill causes you to feel engaged, causes you to feel deeply immersed in your life and in your work. So I encourage you to develop some skill, pick up a hobby, do something to help you engage in back burner creating. What are you going to do this week? What are you going to make? What are you going to create that nobody's paying you for, nobody's judging, but it's something you're doing purely for your own sake? Okay, back burner creating is the second B. And we're going to dive into the third B here in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is also brought to you by Hover. So you may not know it, but you have already experienced Hover if you've visited accidentalcreative.com or toddhenry.com or really any of our web properties, because we register all of our domain names with Hover. We absolutely love them. With Hover, you can register a domain name for your design portfolio or any kind of creative project. Hover has over 400 domain name extensions to choose from when building your brand online. So no matter what your area of creative space, there's a domain waiting for it, from .design to .art to .inc to .photo and so much more. You'll find excellent technical support available to answer any questions you may have. In fact, Hover has best-in-class customer and technical support. We've had to use their technical support a couple of times, and they have always been incredibly responsive and very, very helpful. And they offer email as well to pair with your domain, so you can do everything in one place. If you want to create a domain and have your email all in one place, you can do that. Hover knows that you're going to do something that will make a difference. So grab your domain name at hover.com/accidentalcreative for a 10% discount on all new purchases. Make a name for yourself with Hover. All right, let's talk about the final B. So we've had buffers, we've had back burners, and now we're going to talk about breakwaters. So I was struck by a story last week about something that was happening on Lake Erie. There was a storm blowing in on Lake Erie. Now we live in the southwestern corner of Ohio. Lake Erie covers touches the northern part of Ohio, so especially the northeastern part of Ohio. And there was a storm that was blowing in on Lake Erie, huge winds and all these waves. And it was just crashing over the breakwaters, because typically the waves aren't very high, right? And so the waves were actually overcoming the breakwaters and actually flooding parts of the Lake Erie shoreline, because the breakwaters simply aren't designed to withstand those kinds of waves, because they normally don't occur on Lake Erie. Well, I would submit to you that we're in an environment right now where the breakwaters that we have established are not sufficient to withstand the waves that are coming our way. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about the mental breakwaters. So in the normal world, in normal times, normal news cycles, normal amounts of information going on, right? We probably have some systems for breaking away, for, you know, giving ourselves a mental break from what's going on, from ensuring that we are staying mentally sane. We're connected to what's going on, but we're not too immersed in what's going on. Well, I've talked to more and more people these days who are simply overwhelmed with anxiety about all of the things happening in our culture, politically, socially, obviously in terms of health and COVID and all the things that are happening on that front, economically, because all of the economic cards are being shuffled right now. It's just a really challenging time. And the temptation is, you know, to roll out of bed in the morning and to scroll and to see what new, fresh kind of craziness has been, you know, unleashed on the world today. Because it seems like every day there's some new thing. Do you remember that it was only January where like Australia was on fire? And it was only like a month or so later that murder hornets were invading North America? I mean, it's hard to believe that was this year, because so much craziness has happened over the course of the last several months that you know, all of these things that feel like lifetimes ago now all happened this year. And that's another thing I'm hearing from people, is that time has bent around 2020. It feels like 2020 has been 5 years long. It really does. It doesn't feel like a normal year. I've been feeling like time has been accelerating as I've been getting older. And this year has felt like 5 years to me because of the craziness and the rapidity of the news cycle. So we have to build a wall, a better breakwater against all of the chaos that is coming at us right now. And there is chaos coming at us right now. So here's my encouragement. I would encourage you to set a limit on the amount of consumption that you do of news and media right now. It is very, very unlikely that anything substantial has changed in the last 10 minutes since the last time you refreshed your web browser, or the last time you pulled out Twitter and refreshed your feed, right? I found myself just a handful of weeks ago sitting around with my phone in one hand, constantly refreshing my Twitter feed just to see what was new. And I realized, boy, that is so unhealthy for me to just be constantly plugged into the immediacy of whatever happens to be going on in the world. That is just not something that throughout the course of human history we have dealt with. And now we're in this position where we are aware of everything all the time. And that is psychologically just not healthy for us. And it's very destructive, by the way, to our creative process, because it's impossible for us to determine whether any individual thing is really all that important if everything seems important and urgent all the time. So I encourage you to build some buffers, to establish some back burners, but also to establish some breakwaters against the overwhelming flood, the waves of information and chaos coming your way. And that could look like a couple of things. Number one, it could look like setting limits on the number of times that you're willing to check the news each day or to be engaged in media in any capacity. So that's certainly one thing, one discipline you can build. It can look like doing a fast from media on a certain day of the week. Maybe it's on the weekend. You say, you know what, on Saturday, Sunday, I am not going to check the news. I'm not going to engage in media. Maybe I'll watch a movie or something with my family, but I'm not going to be plugged into the news cycle. Maybe it looks like setting up alerts, so you only get alerts when something important happens and you want to pay attention to that thing. But other than that, you're not just constantly scrolling. Now, I'm not encouraging you to be a low information citizen. What I am saying is that that constant state of alert that many of us feel right now is not productive, and it actually is causing a bit of disengagement and low-grade anxiety all the time. That's not healthy for us. It's not healthy for our creative process. It's not healthy for our engagement. So I just encourage you to consider how you might build a breakwater, some discipline, some boundaries around how you consume media and news and all of these things that, again, are doing nothing but stoking anxiety potentially, really to no good effect. There's no benefit to it other than, is the world still holding together? Yeah, the world's still holding together, but crazy things are happening, but the world's still holding together. That's the only benefit, right? There's no real benefit to being that connected all the time. All right, so those are the three B's: buffers, back burners, and breakwaters. I encourage you to think about, now listen, it doesn't matter what you know, it's what you do that matters. It's what you do that matters. Think about how you're going to build some disciplines into your life to help you stay engaged. Hey, would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.